Thanks, Alex. What I'm going to attempt to do today is really provide a few snapshots and a few vignettes of aspects that are under active consideration in the community or are known by the health cognoscenti. I've not really attempted to portray or present a Commonwealth Government view, but I suppose provide some more factual information and seek to highlight some key questions that I hope will open up the conversation today. Probably the first set of questions relates to why you've all come here today. And I suppose I'd characterise it in perhaps three different dimensions. One, there are often sort of family and individual and personal connections to health. Our health matters to ourselves. Secondly, there's an impact on the community and the economy of improving or declining health status across the community. I suppose the economics of health, also noting that it consumes a big part of our economy's resources and workforce, that it constrains what can be used elsewhere, but in many instances, I suppose those in the health area don't necessarily see it just as an expenditure, but as an investment in our productive capacity. Our health system is not simple. I suppose this is really just one representation, and hopefully you'll see it from the slides that come to you via email. But I suppose I'd also note that health systems in other developed countries are similarly complex. However, in the Australian situation, Australian environment, we have multiple funders, governments, private sector, individuals. We have multiple service providers, sometimes in competition, sometimes acting in a complementary fashion. There are multiple incentives and disincentives acting on individuals, institutions, and governments. And there are multiple interactions between many of these programs as we see the interfaces play out between the public and private systems and between the Commonwealth and the states. And a number of those interactions are certainly the subject of discussion. I suppose one of the particularly fascinating and perhaps quite different aspects around health is the shared space between the Commonwealth and the states. In a number of other areas of social policy, there is more of a distinct line and boundary that can be drawn between the Commonwealth and the states in their particular roles, whereas in health, we're certainly coming across a lot more blurring of that activity. Just sort of taking this a little bit further in terms of who pays for what. In terms of overall funding of the costs of our entire health system, over the last decade, there has been comparatively little variation in the proportion paid for by the Commonwealth, state and territory governments and individuals towards health services. I mean, there's a little bit of change toward the last couple of years as we're seeing the impact of the reduced funding from the Commonwealth to the states around the healthcare agreements. And what this doesn't show is some of the variation within particular sectors, but the overall comparison is still valid in terms of the Commonwealth generally paying for 40 to 45% of the total costs in our health system, state and local governments around sort of 25%, and individuals paying between 15 and 20%, which is more on the comparatively high side of the bargain compared to a number of other countries. I'm going to seek to ask a few questions or sort of pose a few questions, not necessarily answer them, but I suppose just in the discussions that have been taking place around health reform, I suppose that one of the basic questions is the challenge to make better use of our existing level resources going to health, or is there overall a funding deficit? Health is certainly not spared from considerations of how we get better outcomes by redirecting and refashioning our existing efforts. International comparison, Australia is pretty much at the OECD average in terms of overall spending on health, but certainly lower in terms of public health spending compared to other OECD countries. So there are some areas where we sort of spend a bit lower, other areas where we spend a bit higher. Governments are and should be continually challenged by community expectations, wanting increasing access to quality services without excessive or restrictive co-pays. But this also needs to be balanced against other demands of the community and other areas of public policy. Health reform and its benefits cannot just be directed at improving services for the average consumer, whoever they may or may not be. But health reform also needs to be mindful of and respond to the poorer health outcomes currently recorded for lower socioeconomic groups and Indigenous population. We're seeing that play out, particularly with the focus on the closing the gap strategies for Indigenous people. And like many countries, our population is ageing. And an ageing population, together with increasing costs of new technology and its adoption, will put pressures on the sustainability of our health system. Now, these and other questions are being confronted by a range of processes and reviews that I think Alex partly alluded to, including the current COAG consideration of a new health agreement in the context of a proposed significant changes to Commonwealth State financial arrangements, the National Health and Hospital Reform Commission's tasked to prepare a long-term health strategy for Australia, that is a strategy going out towards 2020, and other reviews including the Preventive Health Task Force, the Primary Care Strategy, Maternity Services Review and Rural Services Review, just to name a couple. And most of those will be reporting toward the middle of next year. I suppose one of the things that is often done in health when people are thinking about health reform is really looking at the health system as a system and taking a systems-wide approach. And this is a framework that has been developed by a number of health officials a number of years ago. I think it's quite interesting in terms of trying to delineate some of the key aspects. The first dimension sort of looks at sort of how you measure health status and health outcomes in a range of dimensions. The second aspect's determinants of health, noted the range of factors that influence health outcomes. And I suppose quite importantly, it's not just the health system. Certainly environmental factors, personal behaviours, socioeconomic arrangements for families and individuals all play a key role in terms of health outcomes. And then they highlight also a range of factors that can be used to measure the performance of health systems and health programs. I suppose what I particularly find so useful about this presentation is that it effectively reflects the system-wide influences on health and that our complex arrangements, although they are sort of quite convoluted and somewhat difficult to explain, still can be characterised as a system, albeit with a range of economic agents impacting on the respective levers. I'm glad this chart actually came up the right way. Last time I presented this, the thing was skew-whiff. So perhaps I can just explain it as well. What this attempts to do is really put a bit of an international lens on our health system characteristics and outcomes and help us to understand our comparative strengths and weaknesses. I'm pretty sure those at the back can't read it, but I'll try and give you a sense of what the chart tries to do. The chart is split into three columns. The column on the left is where Australia is in the worst third of the OECD. The chart in the middle, the column in the middle shows where Australia is in the middle third of OECD countries, and the column on the right shows where Australia is in the top third of OECD countries on these range of measures. The first set of measures deal with life expectancy, and I'll just explain the other thing. There are some bars in it. The smaller dot is where we were in 1987. The larger dot is where we were in some of the latest data on around 2004. So it really shows sort of A, how we're moving, where the trends are going, and B, how we're positioned against other OECD countries. The top few areas deal with life expectancy measures. And not surprisingly, Australia's in the top third of the OECD and doing better than we were previously. I suppose that's consistent with the more recent data that also suggests that we're about second best in terms of life expectancy in the world. The next set of indicators deal with self-rated health, that Australians as a whole think we're doing quite well and improving in terms of our health status. In terms of morbidity, the couple of indicators I've got there around incidence of AIDS, we're doing better, but still not great on an OECD comparison. And in terms of dental health, not much change, but in the top third. But I'd have to say that average also disguises some clear differences for socioeconomic groups. around mortality trends, all causes, not too bad on an OECD basis and doing better than we were. In some of the cancers, a mixed story, doing okay on some, not so well on others. Prostate cancer is the one sort of toward the left-hand side there. Our health labour force indicators on a comparative basis look pretty good, with our numbers of practising GPs and practising nurses not too bad on an OECD basis, but I'd have to say that this one should be read with an extreme amount of caution. I think the geographic circumstances of Australia really make this a very difficult indicator to assess. And if you look at the geographical complexities of the Australian circumstance and Australian distribution of population, we really do need more GPs and nurses to actually deal with that geography. So in a sense, I think it's a bit disguised and gives a false reading. And the other aspect that this probably does reflect is that other countries are also doing pretty badly on this measure as well. So everyone's struggling in that area. In terms of risk factors, and these are the last three bars for those right at the back. On tobacco, it shows the improvement over the last decade and certainly how we've seen that improve over time. In terms of alcohol, we're at the sort of in the middle of the OECD and not much change, and I think increasing attention is being paid to that area of activity. And we're seeing certainly obesity and Australia's comparative situation not look too good. So I suppose this gives us a bit of a sense of where we're positioned, where Australia is placed. I suppose the one thing that this doesn't really pick up very strongly is the growing burden of chronic disease and the changing burden of disease we're seeing in Australia. That is certainly a major concern that was picked up in some of the introductory comments and is the focus of considerable attention. Looking just briefly at the ageing of the population and where spending might go in future years, just sort of thinking about government financial arrangements. Our ageing population, rising technology costs anticipated are expected to lead to rising health costs for government. This set of charts, which only deal with Commonwealth spending on various areas of public policy, reflect projections over the next 40 years and shows major changes expected for the health sector in particular. Other projections that are also done by the Productivity Commission are consistent with this increasing level of spending expected on health by the Commonwealth. The Productivity Commission estimates also include some projections for state and territory governments, which also show anticipated increases, but at a lesser rate for state and territory governments than for the Commonwealth. And I suppose putting these Australian projections in an international context, many OECD countries expect their age pension burden to be much more significant in future years and potentially crowd out other social expenditures, including health. So in terms of how Australia is placed internationally, because we have fairly good social programs in other areas, I think the consensus is that while it will be challenging, while government policy needs to be vigilant, there is much greater potential for Australia to meet the anticipated increasing costs in the health sector. Now, I suppose just sort of touching briefly around some of the key messages that the new Commonwealth government, the Rudd government, has highlighted. They've really highlighted a number of particular approaches and attitudes that's characterised their approach to health reform to date. The Prime Minister has emphasised the importance of evidence-based policy reform across all areas of public policy, and this has also come through in the health sector. And if I can just sort of note one example, the package of organ and tissue donation reforms that was announced in July this year was really drawn in full from an assessment of world's best practice and funded in full by the Commonwealth Government. Secondly, attention is being given to existing health workforce constraints and the short-term, medium-term and long-term options to improve this situation. And I'd also note that this is one of the key terms of reference for the National Health and Hospital Reform Commission that is to report in mid-2009. Health reform is not necessarily delivered by increasing resources from government, although reform and funding are often intertwined. And in the Commonwealth, certainly the first question that's being asked of us by the new Rudd government is whether we can achieve better outcomes from using existing resources in a different way. So it's not just the question of we need to do things differently, so give us some more money. There is also an opportunity for governments to take greater responsibility for health outcomes and be more transparent around health system performance. And we're being expected to provide reports to government on the delivery of major election commitments around the performance of those commitments. Now, community expectations are also a necessary part of our political system, and I suppose one of the challenges that governments and the community will face is, particularly with increasing living standards, there is a tendency to see health as a good that we will spend more on as our living standards go up. But I suppose the challenges for governments and also for the community is really around priority setting and also how to manage community demands and make sure that resources go to the most effective areas of need. So I might just leave it there in terms of just opening up some of the conversation.